Hey.
If you didn't know, we're going to talk about New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve here at Take a Break with Gene and Mary. We were a little bit off the air. We were talking about New Year's a little bit, and it's definitely, I got lost in my memories when I was playing the song.
Auld Lang Syne.
For the entry. Auld Lang Syne, yeah.
I think that song,
one of the only New Year's songs.
I want to say Robert Burns wrote that. Let me find out. I have to look that up real quick.
Cool.
Who wrote
I remember
Robert Burns. Robert did do that. Robert, let me see. Robert Burns is I want to say 15th or 16th century. I could be wrong.
Oh, really?
Let me see. Robert.
So it's that old of a song.
Oh, no,
huh?
I'm not. Also known as Rabbi Burns, he was the national bard of Ayrshire and the plowman poet. He was a Scottish poet and lyricist from 1759, so the 18th century. He was born the day my father passed away. Well, not the same year, the same date that my father passed away. January 25th, widely regarded as the national poet of Scotland and is celebrated worldwide. So let me see what the words to that song are, because I never understood it.
I remember may auld acquaintance, auld, the word A-U-L-D.
Yeah.
I don't think it's old. It's a little different. I don't remember what it is.
Well, let's look that up too.
Auld Lang Syne.
A-U-L-D.
Is that going to be Latin maybe?
Auld, A-U-L-D means old.
Oh, it is. Okay. So
the point is the phrase Auld Lang Syne is not recognizable to English speakers because it's not an English phrase. It's a Scottish phrase. Translated literally, it means old long since, but the meaning is like in olden days. So should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of Auld Lang Syne? So what they're saying is, are we supposed to forget the past?
Yeah, forget the past. Out with the old, in with the new.
Well, take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. Oh,
yeah.
Then it goes in.
Kindly remember the good stuff, but let it all go and get new stuff.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses.
Really? Wow. I only know the first words.
And they're in, you know, what they've got here are in, what do you call them? Scottish, Old English type reading. It's been a long time since I've done Beowulf. See, they have a modern lyrics.
Well, remember Mitch Miller? When I was growing up as a kid, Mitch Miller was the New Year's Eve thing, and he'd have the words across the bottom
bouncing ball.
Yeah, to follow along. Everybody could sing along.
Yeah, that's become a tradition for New Year's Eve celebrations. And it says, we sing the first couple of lines and politely mumble the rest into our champagne glasses. Few people can actually recite the entirety of it. It's a 1788 Scots poem by Robert Burns. And it is a traditional folk song. He didn't intend it to be a farewell to the old year. His original thought was, it's an old song of the olden times, which has never been in print nor manuscript until I took it down from an old man. And it, basically what it means is for the sake of the old times. Just, we want to preserve our dearest friendships.
Yeah. Keep a hold of the good.
Yeah.
Forget about the bad. It's done. Can't change it. Just enjoy it and know it.
So, you know, there's another song that comes out this time of year. What are you doing Christmas, New Year's Eve? A lot of the crooners sing that.
Oh, you know, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I always wondered, always thought New Year, you know, of Auld Lang Syne being the only New Year's song, but that really is one.
No, yeah, this one, I don't know when this came out. Well, Ella Fitzgerald sang it, so it's been around a while. At least since the 1960s.
Yeah,
when the bells all ring and the horns all blow and the couples that we know are fondly kissing, will I be with you or will I be among the missing? Maybe it's much too early in the game, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's Eve? Huh. Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock midnight. Welcoming in the New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose that I'd ever be the one you chose out of the 1,000 invitations you receive. Interesting. It's kind of a sad song if you think about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, wow, what a defeatist poor thing, you know. Give it a try. Ask if. Never so, know.
You know, I will tell you, I've never been one to really celebrate New Year's Eve like, well, I can't say never because never, never works out. But I will say
never.
That you like that. Never, never works out. Never say never. Curtis and I, the year we first moved to Florida from Atlanta, we went to a New Year's Eve party in downtown Melbourne. And it was not pretty. It was crowded. I dressed way too nicely for the event. It was a street party. My heels were too tall. My dress was too flimsy. I got cold. So naturally, I drank too much. And I ended up taking my shoes off. This was New Year's night, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning on January 1. So I'm freezing.
Thank goodness you took your shoes off, though.
Well, I took my shoes off.
I'm glad you took your shoes off. You were going to fall off.
I would have because
you said they were heels.
I was drinking. I was wearing heels. This was a long time ago. But I don't do that anymore. But I will.
Well, I'm just glad you said you took them off. Yeah, I was waiting for the rest of the story to end up in the hospital.
Nope. I had to carry my shoes to the car and I kept on drinking, but I don't drink like that anymore. I don't have a need to. The very first New Year's Eve that Curtis and I spent together was so cold. We went to North Carolina and I met his family for the first time. I had met his sister briefly, and I met her husband and their dog, who was a boxer, and his name was Ringo.
Oh.
Ringo was a non-trusting dog, and so they warned me, don't go near the dog unless, you know, either Patty or Brian's around. And so I didn't go near the dog, but early New Year's morning, Ringo found his way into the room and he came over and nuzzled me, and I'm sitting there petting this dog. And so Curtis looks over, he sees what's happening. He calls his sister on the phone. He says, you need to come up here now, but be quiet because Ringo's up here. So Patty eased the door open and she goes, oh, and she steps downstairs and she goes, I could hear her whispering like a stage whisper, Brian, you got to come see your dog. You won't believe what Mary's doing to him. This dog was lying on his back. I was petting him on his belly and he was just in heaven. And I was the only person in the world that he had ever willingly let do that. Now, you know, if you were his master, you could flip him over and manhandle him and rub his belly. But I was the only person he went belly up for on his own. And so naturally, his humans liked me after that. They thought that was pretty cool.
Very cool, yeah. Well, dogs know, you know.
They do, they do. And they after Ringo passed away, they had a dog named Jesse James, the Thief of Hearts. And he was a sweetheart. Jesse was not like Ringo at all. Jesse didn't know any strangers. And he was a very loving.
Liked everybody.
Yes.
Well, I think that I was just sitting here thinking you had asked me about my New Year's Eve memories, and I just thought of one because I didn't really have many.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought of one. It's just as a kid, I staying up late. It was a big part of it, you know, getting to stay all the way up till midnight, and then your parents could not let you, you know,
right.
If you wanted to, if you could. But one of the things that I didn't really do New Year's much after that, because I celebrated New Year's every day. But then later on, I got married to a woman who introduced me to black-eyed peas and greens as a tradition to eat if you wanted to have money. And I thought, well, heck, I want money. So I started eating black-eyed peas and greens.
That's a Southern thing. That must have been your North Carolina wife.
The South Carolina wife. I've had one
from
each
South Carolina?
Carolina. Well, I had one from each Carolina.
Oh.
I don't know how that worked out. My first one was from South Carolina. The second one was from North Carolina.
Carolina girls. There's something special about Carolina girls.
Something about that. Yeah. One came all the way out west, out in the Great Plains in Colorado and got me.
Nice.
Brought me back.
I love think about that. I love making phone calls to customer service and getting there's a difference between a Carolina accent and another Southern, like Georgia. And
right.
I can almost always pick out somebody from South Carolina. And I always throw them away. They'll be talking and they'll be telling me the things they got to do to help me. And they got this certain little lilt to their voice. And they just go on and carry on. Now, if you're from Georgia girls, they have extra syllables because they just throw more honey and molasses into their words. But it's so funny because I'll be talking to somebody and I'll say, "You're a Carolina girl, aren't you?" And I don't usually talk in that Southern lilt, but and some people say, "Oh, I hear the Southern in you." I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I try not to."
One of my exes called it overcoming it. She said she had overcome it.
Yes.
I couldn't get her to talk like that. Sometimes if she had a couple of drinks and she got like going wild and talking big and fast, she'd talk a little bit like that.
Yep.
But if she ever caught herself, she didn't do it.
Well,
I don't know whatever that was about.
I'm like her. I remember one time I was applying for a job and I'd gone in for an interview. And this was in South Carolina. It was in my hometown of Walterboro. And so I was talking to the man who was interviewing me and we were discussing with normal vocabulary, you know, and he stopped. He says, "Mary, I have to ask you a question. Where are you from?" I said, "Walterboro." He said, no, before you moved here. I said, "Oh, well, I lived most of my childhood in Yemisee," which was another South Carolina town.
Yeah.
He said, "No, you lived somewhere else." I said, "Well, where do you think I'm from?" He said, "Either New York or Chicago, somewhere that's progressive." I said, "Why would you say that?" He said, "Well, first of all, you don't have the accent. And secondly, your ideas are way too big for this town." I said, "Well, hate to burst your bubble, buddy, but this is where I'm from, born and raised. And then I made my great escape in my 40s and I moved to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I always say that Atlanta is like the Manhattan of the South.
It really kind of is, you know. I found it interesting that it was built. It was like specifically built as what it was, the city that was the center of all the things that it was, you know.
Yeah.
Which I guess isn't that astounding. I just remember when I found out, and the way they constructed it, I guess, is what was part of that, the design. So do you have big plans for New Year's this year?
Oh, yes. I plan to go to sleep sometime and wake up the next morning in a brand new year. I tend to be a night owl anyway. And one of our traditions, and this is not something that I've ever done with anyone else, but Curtis and I like to start watching the New Year's roll in around the world, starting with Australia.
Oh, that's cool.
It is kind of cool.
Oh, that's very cool.
And you get to watch all these celebrations on television. Now, I can remember when I was a kid, you talked about Guy Lombardo. When I was a kid, and even now, I mean, the tradition is Dick Clark ringing in the new year. But some of the musical acts, I don't know what they're going to do this year with.
Once they started dropping the ball.
Times Square.
It was probably the place I was in my life, plus the fact that it really wasn't the same as the old Guy Lombardo and stuff, and even Dick Clark, because that was different, you know. So I just kind of got away from it. But I heard they just changed the ball too recently, put a new ball in, last couple of years. Yeah, a big new crystal ball. So maybe last year or year before, I can't remember exactly. Could have been 5 years ago, as old as I'm getting.
you know, the Times Square ball has...
Rosemary yet today.
Well, you better start sniffing.
I better. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you know that the Times Square ball has more than... Oh, I just lost the number. 32,000 LED light bulbs.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
Now they swap out some of those crystals every year. The light bulbs are inside a geodesic sphere that is made from Waterford crystals. Did you know that?
Well, that's to magnify it, I guess.
Well, I guess it makes it more glittery because it's got all these different facets on it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, I'm trying to see if this is still true or not. But at one point in time, the LED lights, I think they still are made by Lighting Science Group, based out of Satellite Beach here in Brevard County.
Huh. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, though, you know, there's a strong connection between people in New York and people in Florida. I mean, there, you know, a lot of familial collection and economic connections. Sure. I can see
that. My neighbors are, they're snowbirds from New York.
Oh yeah. I know probably just 10 people in my small realm of knowledge of people. Yeah. I've never been there. I should, you know, and that's when I should go, is for New Year's Eve one time and try to get in there and watch the ball.
Oh no.
Can't you get into a room there or something and be able to watch out the window?
Well, now, yeah, if you do that, you probably have to pay thousands of dollars a night and probably have to. Mm. Well, let's find out how to.
Well, I mean, I don't. I guess are they going to let people go stand in the streets this year together and pack in there like they do?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's see.
The only thing is about it, I got to tell you, even here in Florida,
they're not having a live audience.
Down in the 40s and stuff. I don't think I could stand there in that cold any length of time.
Well,
I've been cold here in Florida at 40 degrees now.
Mm-hmm. Your blood's thinned out.
You know,
according to
that's what it is.
According to a story that came out on the 26th of December this year, there will be no massive crowds, but plenty of music on tap for New Year's Eve in Times Square. They're using television and streaming. The show will go on despite the pandemic. There are restrictions against huge gatherings. So let's see. I don't know who Andra Day is, but she's the headliner. So let's see what else it says. 6 hours live commercial free webcast begins at 6 p.m. Eastern time with the lighting and raising of the ball. And
well, so it's what it's about. It's again, it's all about these lip sync stage acts. Is that what they're doing? Some are lip sync and some aren't. Yeah. But I mean, that's what they're doing. They're like the floats.
Yes.
In the parades.
They've been doing this for 116 years.
Wow. Wonder what the original ball was. Was it candles or was it Edison bulbs?
I don't know. Let's see if I can find that out.
Because when you said 30,000 LED bulbs, I thought, wow, that's a lot. But if they, before LED, that would have been like, that thing must have put out some heat and sucked some electricity.
Look at this. Here's the ball history from the Times Square Ball. It has its own web page. Revelers began celebrating New Year's Eve in Times Square as early as 1904. But the ball made its maiden descent from the flagpole in 1907. Seven versions of the ball have been designed. Okay, here's your answer. The first New Year's Eve ball made of iron and wood had 125 watt light bulbs, was 5 feet in diameter and weighed 700 pounds.
Wow.
It was built by a metal worker named Jacob Starr. And the sign maker, that's Art Kraft awesome. Strauss, was the man responsible for lowering the ball. As part of the 1907-1908 festivities, waiters in deluxe eateries and hotels surrounding Times Square were given battery-powered top hats emblazoned with the numbers 1908, fashioned out of tiny light bulbs. At the stroke of midnight, get this, they all flipped their lids. And the year on their foreheads lit up in conjunction with the numbers 1908.
Oh, man, really?
Yes.
Flip their lids, huh?
Now, they did not lower the ball during 1942 and 1943 because of the wartime dim out. Uh-huh. But the crowd still gathered and greeted the new year with a minute of silence followed by the ringing of chimes from sound trucks parked at the base of the tower, ringing out the old, ringing in the new. In 1920,
drop our own ball this year.
Well, I got a room full. Maybe I got over somewhere. I used to have a box full of balls.
Well, I was thinking we could. I got a big long bamboo pole. We could hang one out over the second story at Green Gables, and I could drop it down.
You could. In 1920, a 400-pound ball made entirely of wrought iron replaced the original. then in 1955, they used aluminum and it only weighed 150 pounds.
Man, how much was that other one? I was sitting here thinking wrought iron. How much did you say? Did it say it was?
The wrought iron one? Was 400 pounds.
Wow, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, that's a lot.
And then in the 1980s,
you wouldn't want to be under it.
They added red light bulbs and green stem to make the ball into an apple for the Big Apple.
That's pretty cool. I remember when that happened. I was still watching the ball.
In 1995, they upgraded it with aluminum skin, rhinestones, strobes, and computer controls. And they lowered the aluminum ball for the last time in 1998. For the year 2000, the Millennium Celebration at the Crossroads of the World, the New Year's Eve ball was completely redesigned by Waterford Crystals and Philips Lighting. It combined the latest lighting technology and the most traditional materials, reminding us of our past as we gazed into the future to begin a new millennium. For the 100th anniversary of the Times Square ball drop, Waterford Crystal and Philips Lighting crafted a spectacular LED ball. Incandescent and halogen bulbs of the past century were replaced by state-of-the-art Philips Luxion LED lighting technology that increased the brightness and color capabilities of the ball. So they could add color to it then.
Very cool.
So let's see, inspired a permanent big ball. Holy moly! Weighing 6 tons, 12 feet in diameter, 2,688 Waterford crystal triangles, 32,256 LEDs.
That's the newest one?
That's the current one, yeah. Year-round attraction sparkling above Times Square in full public view, January through December. So that's year-round.
Well, there you go. That's cool. That'd be worth going. That would be the thing to do for me. Go see it when nobody's there and then watch it on TV and pretend I was there.
Now, get this. The notion of a ball dropping to signal the passage of time dates back before New Year's Eve was ever celebrated in Times Square. The first time ball was installed atop England's Royal Conservatory at Greenwich in 1833. The ball dropped at 1 o'clock every afternoon, allowing the captains of nearby ships to set their chronometers. There have been about 150 time balls installed around the world, although there aren't very many surviving. So that's what they have. Oh, here's a ball of facts. Oh, well, let's see.
Well, you know, that's quite a deal. The what you described, literally, a body could teach literacy on the technological history of building material and light bulbs for building something like a ball. Because what you described really trace the technological advancements over the years, the last 150 years, 120 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Now, this is for 2021.
Uh-huh.
192 crystal triangles introduced the new gift of happiness design, represented by a sunburst of bright cuts radiating outward like a beautiful sunny day. 192 are the gift of goodwill design of 3 pineapples, signifying traditional symbol of hospitality and goodwill. Another 192 are the gift of harmony design, of small roseate cuts flowing into each other in beautiful harmony. Another 192 are the gift of serenity design of butterflies flying peacefully above a crystal metal, capturing the spirit of serenity. Then the gift of kindness design is a circle of rosettes symbolizing unity with the fronds reaching out in an expression of kindness. Another 192 are the gift of wonder, of a faceted starburst inspiring our sense of wonder. The gift of fortitude design of diamond cuts on either side of a crystal pillar represents the inner attributes of resolve, courage, and spirit necessary to triumph over adversity. The remaining 1,344 triangles are the gift of imagination, of a series of intricate wedge cuts that are mirrored reflections of each other, inspiring our imagination. I have to watch this ball this year. That's really cool.
I think so, yeah.
So
see, somebody I knew once said, count the day lost if you don't learn something new.
Yeah, every day we learn. I mean, I'm amazed at all the things that we've learned and will continue to learn in just a few minutes. I think we've definitely overshot our 15 minutes of our take a break.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, it's okay because this was kind of a special show.
It happens.
Talking about, you know, New Year's traditions. No, wait a minute. New Year's traditions, actually, we'll talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about New Year's Day traditions around the world.
Oh, okay.
So today we were talking about our traditions and the traditions that we haven't actually participated in yet. We would like to one day, maybe. I'm just not sure that I would want to be in a crowd of millions and millions of people.
Oh, never, really.
Because I think to me, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But also, I would not know where I would go to find a bathroom. How would you get there? It would take you an hour to cross the path of people.
Well, that's what, when you take one of these things, folks in the South, I found called a pecan. Well, they don't, they call it a pecan, but in South Dakota, we call it a pecan. You take it with you and have it as a lid. I came to the South and they call it the pecan.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about two different kinds of nuts right now.
So anyway,
well, I'm going to say goodbye because it's time to close out this show and get ready for tomorrow's show. And tomorrow we're going to talk about New Year's Day traditions around the world.
Yeah, well, I'm going to wait and get ready in the morning. I'm going to do something different today.
Oh, but you know, I forgot to even talk about today's word of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we'll trek back to that real quick. Today's word was celebration. And that's just simply.
Oh, my goodness.
The action of marking your own pleasure at an important event or occasion by doing something you enjoy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because that's the reason I quit really celebrating holidays, because I celebrate every day.
Yeah.
All of them. Huh? How about, that's awesome. Celebrate.
That's really cool.
Celebrate. Dance to the music.
That's a fun song. All right, folks, tune in tomorrow. Take a break with Gene and Mary. We'll talk about New Year's traditions around the world. And we probably won't cover every country in the world, but we'll cover some of the major ones. Make sure you interact with us on Facebook starting in January. And always contact Gene and Mary at gmail.com. Bye, everybody.
See y'all.
Bye.